infinite, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Gloria.
Good morning, Mr. Cushing. You're a brave man.
Now, what does that mean?
You're also late.
Late for what? Nobody even knows I'm back.
All in all, you'd make life much simpler if you just get back on that Paris plane.
You sounding off.
Our chief does not sound off. The madder he gets, the lower he speaks. Last night, I could hardly hear him.
I get it. He sent me to Paris for 2 weeks and expected me to stay. Well, I wrapped it up. The ball's now in their court. And there's nothing to be done for another 4 or 5 days. What does he expect me to do? Take an art course?
Mr. Fletcher expects you to obey orders. End of quote.
I will, when it makes sense. Anyhow, the Greeks love me, and this looks good.
Why is it hush-hush?
It's not hush-hush. People don't understand. These guys have vision you wouldn't believe. They know the oil picture. They've done the shipping thing. They're making a study of a whole new source of energy that could change half the world.
Like what?
Tides.
Tides?
Tides. Of the sea, you know, high tide, low tide. They rise and fall by the gravity of the moon's pull. Now, look, I'm no scientist, but when you listen to those guys, boy, there are places in the world, Gloria, where the tides come in 40 and 50 feet high with a rush like a river. Now, that's power. Everlasting power. It'd never give out. These guys want to build the first plant to convert tidal power into electricity. They want us to do it.
Marvelous. Where?
That's what they're working on now. They have to get government consent. A lot of things involved, but if we do it for them, it'll put this corporation on the top of the energy world. We'd be pioneers, like the guys who built the first space rocket. You, Fletcher, would be talking in billions.
You mean Tony Cushing.
No, I'm second man here. I don't forget that.
But you're going to be first someday.
Thank you for the vote, Gloria. Meanwhile, I'll go to Paris when the boss sends me, but I'll come home when I decide.
Oh, I forgot.
Hmm?
You are late now.
Late for what?
Mrs. Cushing is in your office.
Claire, when did she get here?
About 20 minutes ago. She's having coffee on your desk without any sweetener.
I get it. As it happens, I want to see her. Good morning, Claire.
Tony, where on earth have you been?
Paris, as you very well know.
I mean this morning. Do you always arrive this late?
I was conferring with my secretary. I'm glad to see you, Claire.
Are you really? How nice.
As a matter of fact, if you hadn't called on me, I would have called you at your hotel later.
Oh, my loss. I'd have given you better coffee.
I'm sorry. It's the best we have around. When I got off the plane yesterday, there was a message at my office to phone you. Why?
I like to keep track of you.
When I phoned, I found Kate was there.
Yes. Wasn't that a coincidence?
You waited until I was out of town to see her. Now, why?
Really, Tony, you are chauvinistic. Can't two women chat with each other?
I'm sure it wasn't Kate's idea.
She stayed quite a while.
Why did you want to see her?
Well, after all, darling, she's the girl you're interested in. Poor dear. She even has the idea you want to marry her.
I do. I make no secret of that.
I had to tell her what I've told you. I am not giving you a divorce, darling. I like my life as Mrs. Anderson.
I've heard all that, Claire. What else did you tell her?
I told her you'd make a perfectly dreadful husband.
Oh, well, that may be true.
But she imagined she's in love with you, so at that stage she hardly listened.
Is that all?
Haven't you seen her?
Yes, I have seen her.
Then why not ask her?
I did. She had very little to say. She wanted to hear about Paris.
How naive. Hasn't she ever been there?
Claire, let's just stick to the point. She said only things that I believe reflected you. She said that because her late husband had been involved in drug traffic, she oughtn't to see me until it was all cleared up.
Well, she's smarter than I thought.
Did you say that to her, Claire?
Certainly I said it to her. It's unthinkable that at this point in your career you'd get mixed up in anything like that.
I told you before she had nothing to do with it.
She was the devoted little wife. She went wherever he went.
How do you know that?
She told me. Oh, Tony, wake up. Kate Wakefield could ruin your life.
On the contrary, she's made it suddenly sweet and worth living again.
I think you believe that.
I told Kate that I would give up my career before I'd let her go.
Tony, you are out of your mind.
Pleasantly so, perhaps.
Oh. Well, for a moment, you startled me. Kate might like those romantic words, but I know you. And I know what you went to Paris for. You wouldn't give up your future now for anyone on earth. Would you, darling?
Thanks for meeting me, Trudy.
Well, I like a hamburger as well as the next guy.
No onions at lunch, though.
Well, let's take this booth here where we can talk.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I like this place. It reminds me of Joe's up at Bellhaven, except there you'd always meet someone you knew.
Yep. Wall-to-wall strangers in this city.
Yeah, I like to watch them, though. Wonder who they are, if they have problems.
Are you kidding? They got more problems than people in this town.
I guess so. I've got a big one.
Tony?
I guess you can tell.
Oh, boy, Kate, a lot of women would like to have that problem.
I told him last night I couldn't see him for a while, so, of course, he called me for lunch today.
Oh?
I told him I couldn't. He said he'd come over and talk me into it, so I had to be busy.
So me, I'm in the middle.
Sort of, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kate, I love you both, but aren't you going overboard trying to avoid Tony? He's a lot of guys.
A lot. With a big career, which I could ruin.
Who said that to you?
Nobody had to.
Oh, but somebody did. Like Claire, maybe, yesterday when you saw her?
Claire said a lot of rough things, Trudy, but the thing that stuck was how big Tony's career was going to be.
How does she know? She may be married to him, but she hasn't lived with him for how many years?
Oh, 3 or 4. Trudy, she's a very smart woman, and a very stunning one.
Yeah.
And she keeps very close track of everything Tony does. You know, she even knew about my late husband's drug running, as she put it.
Well, you haven't hidden it. Tony knows it.
Yes, but Claire was right. Tony is moving into pretty big financial circles, and that kind of scandal could finish him.
Maybe today. But it's past.
Yeah, it isn't. When I got home last night, I found a note in my box from Stephen Wolfe.
Yeah, I was there when he brought it.
You saw it?
Yeah. Stephen and I are getting to be old friends. Oh, boy, some friends. I wouldn't trust that guy at high noon in the public library. But I jolly him along, just to know what he's up to.
Well, I can show you. This is the note he left.
Let's see. Please meet me at the usual place, 5:30 tomorrow. Urgent. That's this afternoon, Kate.
Right.
Well, are you going to see him?
Read the newspaper clipping he pinned to the note.
Yeah, federal narcotic agents boarding a small yacht owned by Robert D. Treber of Miami, Florida, found 2 plastic sacks containing 5 kilos each of raw cocaine. Treber and his wife Nell were released on $50,000 bail pending investigation. Mrs. Treber hysterically denied knowing of the presence of the drug aboard the yacht, but authorities believe this may be another link in the spreading network of cocaine smuggling in the Caribbean. Well, Kate, what's this got to do with you?
Nothing. But it's real, and it's now. Maybe that woman is as innocent as I was, but nobody believes her. That's what Stephen is trying to tell me.
No, he's trying to frighten you.
He's done that before. Oh, Trudy, I just can't let this go on. There must be somebody down there in the Caribbean who knew Tom and who knew who he worked for or with. Somebody who might know whether or not Tom could have hidden away a whole shipment of cocaine. That's what Stephen is really after.
The Caribbean is a pretty big place, Kate. Where would you begin?
Anywhere I could find a clue. Maybe from Stephen Wolfe himself.
Oh, boy, that could be risky. And suppose you went down there and found out that everything Stephen Wolfe has said is true. What could you do?
Go to the authorities and never be afraid again.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. Then I learned about Daytrol. I compared labels and couldn't find any difference. Daytrol has the same pain reliever, no aspirin. Daytrol's just as effective as Tylenol. So now I compare prices and buy the one that costs less. Why spend more?
Daytrol, from Bristol-Myers. Ask your doctor about it. Here's a special invitation to every woman and child who's ever appeared in a Miss Clairol advertisement, print, television, or packaging.
Miss Clairol and Woman's Day Magazine cordially invite you to join us at a gala reunion to celebrate Miss Clairol's 25th anniversary. All former models, please contact Miss Clairol or Woman's Day at Box 333A, FDR Station, New York, New York, 10022. The search is on for former Miss Clairol models. Faces of Love features Morgan Fairchild as Kate Wakefield, Nat Polan as Anthony Cushing, Terry Keane as Claire Cushing, Joan Shea as Trudy Kiefer, and Richard Niles as Jeff Clark. Also appearing was Bernie Grant. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca. Written by Margaret LaWorth. And brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. This is Mel Brandt. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
Ladies, gentlemen, your servant, as you know, William Makepeace Thackeray, author, as you know, of Vanity Fair. 'Tis said all lovers are lunatics. Well, I won't go that far, but of a certainty they are touched with madness. I do not refer only to Rawdon and Becky. Refer to another lover pacing back and forth across the street from Amelia Sedley's house in Russell Square. The chap gives no thought to ice and snow, warms his heart, if not his feet, to be near Emmy's house, knowing she is in it. George Osborne with such tender feelings. George, who seems to love Emmy only on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and sometimes Saturdays. No, nay, not that knave, George. 'Tis Captain William Dobbin, with cold feet and warm heart. Dobbin, unloved by Emmy, who adores only George. Ah, there comes Emmy out the door. Emmy crossing the street to a blushing Dobbin, who did not intend her to see him.
Dobbin, it is you. I saw you through the window and wasn't sure. What are you doing over here?
Waiting for George. Thought he might be calling on you.
Why, no. I wish he were.
Pity I wanted to see him.
Why didn't you come in?
Oh, wouldn't want to interrupt.
Well, come in now.
Oh, no, Emmy, thank you. Imposition. I'll be going along.
Please. I've been hoping you'd stop by.
I say, have you?
I very much wanted to talk to you.
Do you?
About George.
Oh, George, yes.
I can because you're his best friend.
What about George?
Shall we walk a little? In the house, Mama might interrupt.
Deuced cold out here. Not want you to get chilled. Best warm, are you?
Quite warm. We'll walk round the square.
Well, you'd best take my arm, if you don't mind. Ice underfoot.
Thank you, Dobbin. Always, you're so kind and thoughtful.
Oh, my pleasure. Now, what about George?
I don't know about George. I don't know what to think about George.
What's he done now?
It's what he says. He'll be very sweet. And then not sweet. I never know what causes it.
Oh, nothing. It's just old George, Emmy. It's how he is. Surely you know that by this time.
I do. But lately he says such strange things. New things.
New what things?
Well, he talks of losing me when he knows I would never, never stop loving him. Can he possibly believe I would? Doesn't he know how I love him?
No, he knows. Look here, Emmy, it's all dramatics. That's George, too.
I don't think so. I'll tell you his very words when last I saw him.
Yes, may lose you, Emmy. Cruel circumstances could bring tragedy to pass.
He meant it, Dobbin. I know he did.
Tragedy? What the devil is he talking about?
You don't know either. He's not talked to you of it?
No.
And when he left, he said lovely words. But the way he said them, Dobbin, as if he doesn't want me to be the way I am.
Goodbye, dear, good, sweet, patient, uncomplaining Emmy.
Oh, why did he sound so angry?
I don't know, but I'll find out. You've my word on that. Oh, I could throttle George Osborne for wounding you, Emmy. Could and may.
You see, dear listeners, lovers are lunatics. George in his way, Dobbin in his, Emmy certainly in hers. To say nothing of Rawdon, who will hear behaving like a lunatic when I return.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Have quite mesmerized themselves into believing his auntie will pronounce her blessings upon them when she learns they are wed. Oh, yes, they're sensible enough to know the surprise will doubtless provoke certain angry reactions, but after they butter her up... listen to the pair of them.
Sweet Becky. After we butter Auntie up, she'll melt like butter.
I begin to wonder why we waited so long to tell her.
Your fault, my love.
Oh, yes, mine, making us walk a tightrope all these months.
Look here. Let's do after all go up and tell her now. Then we can have this night together, not wait till tomorrow night.
Oh, you're a wicked man, how you tempt me. Tonight in your arms.
Pleasure to be wicked.
Mm.
Up?
Oh, no, no, dearest, no. We must be sensible a little longer. We've made all the plans for tomorrow, very good plans. We must keep to them.
Why must we, damn it? All we have to do is walk up a flight of stairs, walk into a sitting room, and then I say...
What do you say, my dear one?
Auntie, wish to present Mrs. Rawdon Crawley.
Oh, darling booby. If she's told sudden like that, she'll have an apoplexy.
Oh, you think so?
I know it.
Then we'd inherit all her money sooner than we thought.
Oh, shame, Rawdon. We would, though, wouldn't we?
Good gad, look at the time. I've not reported at barracks. Major O'Dowd will have my head in commission, too.
Oh, and I was just ready to say we'd go upstairs.
Were you? Capital. Come along. The Major can wait 10 minutes more.
Oh, listen to him. Now, we tell Miss Crawley what we tell her. You depart on the instant for Chatham Barracks and leave poor Becky to cope with your auntie's hysterics. Oh, depart now, my darling, or I shall have hysterics. Oh, go. Well, that is, after you kiss me.
Dobbin has met George Osborne just outside the gates of Chatham Barracks, and Dobbin wastes no time with pleasantries.
Look here, George, I want some words with you, and it's no good trying to put me off.
Have to put you off, old chap.
No, damn it.
I can't pay what I owe. Not been round to see my father yet. You'll get your money. Don't you always?
Money? All you think of? Why don't you think of Emmy?
Well, look who's here. Emmy. How did she get to Chatham Barracks? Ladies not allowed.
Don't cut your rotten jokes with me. Not in the mood for it. Why do you torment that sweet girl?
Oh, been round to see her, have you? Egad, anyone'd think she's your betrothed, not mine. Trying to take her away from me, are you? Can't be done, old boy.
Emmy's hooked proper. Damn you for talking of her like that. Silly grin on your face. Passed her on the street, we talked. Now, what's this about losing her? Why do you tell her such rubbish? Worry her sick, break her heart, making sport, cutting your simpleton jokes? Not jokes to her.
Not making sport, not cutting jokes. Could lose her. Have to give her up.
You gave me your word. You'd not fool about with anyone else. That what you've been up to?
Calm yourself, old sport. Not been fooling around. Emmy's papa has.
Mr. Sedley?
Fooling about with the stock market. Losing. His money chock-a-block. My papa says if Mr. Sed loses Emmy's dowry, I've lost Emmy. Can't marry her, and there's an end to it. I've been warning her, that's all, though she don't know what I mean.
You'd throw her over, George.
No fault of mine if her settlement's up the spout.
No fault of Emmy's either.
Look here, Dob. Don't want to lose her. Love Emmy.
Then you'll not play the cad, dowry or no dowry. Or do you love money more?
No need to worry about it now. Mr. Sed's not in the almshouse yet. Maybe won't be. Maybe he'll... Oh, I say, here comes that bounder Crawley. Mind you, don't say a word against Becky Sharp.
Why would I?
He'll have you on the ground and his boot in your face.
Captain Crawley.
Captain Dobbin. Lieutenant.
Captain? You look a happy man, sir, if I may say so.
You may, and I am. Just came away from Becky Sharp. Care to comment, Osborne?
Charming young woman, Becky. In my cups the other night. Didn't mean a word I said.
And a good thing, too. See you about, gentlemen.
Zounds. Good gad. Enthralled to that wench. You mark my word, Dobbin. She'll bring him trouble and serve him jolly well right.
I will not stain my pages further with more of George Osborne's unsolicited, unnecessary remarks. I do, however, solicit your presence tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Your obedient servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Mystery meat again. The food hasn't changed since the last time I was in college, but I have. 12 years later, 12 gray hairs. The only gray hairs in the entire class. So, I tried Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, just covers up gray without changing your natural color. Loving Care made my hair softer and shinier. And two boys wanted my number.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. Then I learned about Daitrol. I compared labels and couldn't find any difference. Daitrol has the same pain reliever, no aspirin. Daitrol's just as effective as Tylenol. So now I compare prices and buy the one that costs less. Why spend more?
Daitrol, from Bristol-Myers. Ask your doctor about it.
The Author's Studio has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by the O-Cedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Mr. Baxter?
Oh, yes, Miss Perkins. What is it?
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that letter to the Gorham Company should go off today, and you haven't even dictated it yet.
All right. I'll do it later.
It has to go off today.
Miss Perkins, I think I know what has to be done.
Well, yes, of course, Mr. Baxter. I was just reminding you, and Mr. Fleming is still waiting in his office to go over the Rogers contract with you. He bugged me again a few minutes ago.
I know, but I've been busy with some other things.
Mr. Baxter, you're not starting to smoke again.
No, I am not.
But you're holding a cigarette.
All right, I'm just holding it. It is not lit.
Oh, I do hope you're not going to start again. You've been so good, Mr. Baxter, for 6 months. And I was so happy when you stopped smoking.
Miss Perkins.
I know how hard habits are to break. I used to bite my fingernails, and it was so hard to get out of the habit.
Miss Perkins, smoking is hardly like biting fingernails.
It's a habit, Mr. Baxter. They're all habits, bad habits. And I used to be so ashamed of my hands, I kept hiding them all the time. And then one day, I just said to myself, are you going around the rest of your life with chewed-off fingernails? And I just said to myself, no, indeed, I'm going to stop chewing.
Fine.
Oh, it wasn't easy, but I put bright red nail polish on so that when I'd start to put a fingernail in my mouth, I would notice it right away and stop chewing.
Miss Perkins, I am only holding an unlit cigarette in my hand, and I am not smoking. And I trust you're not recommending that I put on bright red nail polish so that I will be...
Oh, no, Mr. Baxter, of course not. I just meant that when we have habits, if we have a signal to warn us, we're doing the wrong thing.
Miss Perkins.
Oh, I realize it's none of my business, Mr. Baxter.
You're right, Miss Perkins. It is none of your business.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean
to. Miss Perkins, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I apologize. Here, please.
I was just trying to help.
I know. But I don't need any help. I'm not smoking. I was just holding a cigarette.
But those are crutches, Mr. Baxter. Just crutches. Psychologically, you're depending on.
Miss Perkins, I do not wish to discuss it anymore, okay?
Yes, Mr. Baxter. Excuse me. I'll get back to my desk. Oh, Mr. Fleming, excuse me.
Bob, I've been waiting to go over those Rogers contracts with you.
Later, Bill.
Was something wrong?
No, I'm just busy with some other things here.
Well, Cranshaw's been yelling at me about it. Well, I guess we can do it this afternoon. Almost time for lunch now, anyway. Are you going to join us? Jack and I are going over at the tap room.
No, thanks anyway. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going on home for the day.
Going home? We have to wind up that contract. And there's a conference with Kimball at 4 o'clock.
Oh, to heck with it. All of it. I'm going home.
What'll I tell Cranshaw?
I don't care. Tell him anything. I'm going home.
I wish you would tell me what is wrong.
Why does anything have to be wrong?
It's not like you to just waltz home in the middle of the day.
I didn't waltz home. I drove home.
I bet you're coming down with the flu. There's a lot of it going around.
Look, will you just go on doing whatever you were doing and never mind about me?
Something go wrong at the office, dear?
Probably. I should have gone over the Rogers contract with Bill Fleming, and there's a conference this afternoon that I'm missing, but I don't seem to care very much.
You are sick. That is your job. I'm going to get you to bed.
No, as a matter of fact, I'm going to get into some old clothes and bundle up and go for a walk.
Go for a walk when you're coming down with something?
I am not coming down with anything.
I mean, what is the trouble? You can tell me.
There is nothing to tell.
Why are you so cross?
I don't know. I just am. I snapped at Miss Perkins this morning and put her in tears. So I think the best thing for you to do is to leave me alone. I'm sorry, but there it is.
Well,
aren't there times when you just want to be left alone?
Oh, I don't know. I guess so.
Goodness, Bob. What are you doing home?
It's my home, Aunt Maggie. Do I have to have a million reasons to give you all for coming home?
Well,
Bob.
I'm going out for a walk, if that's all right with you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Aunt Maggie. You're so cross, and I don't know why. Something at the office, I think. Or he's coming down with the flu.
No. I don't think that's it at all.
What do you think it is?
The same thing as last night. He's tempted to start smoking again.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Think he has started?
Mm-mm.
That's why he's going out for a walk in all this snow to sneak cigarettes?
No. He's just wrestling with his conscience.
Oh, he's been so good for 6 months, I didn't think he even missed not smoking. And he promised all over again last night that he wouldn't start again.
Well, promises. Mm. What's bothering him is that he doesn't want to break his promise, either to you or, more important, to himself.
Yes. Oh, poor darling.
Now, just leave him alone. Nothing you can do anyway. Come on. Let's fix a pot roast for dinner tonight. That's his favorite. Maybe it'll take his mind off smoking. When he gets back from his walk, we'll pretend we don't know what's wrong. Just stay off the subject of cigarettes.
Yes. All right, Aunt Maggie.
messed up. Cigarette here, someplace. Somewhere in one of these desk drawers.
Bob? You know, dear, it's 2:30 in the morning.
What are you doing up?
Well, I know what you're doing up. I've been listening to you ransacking this whole house for a cigarette. Right? Right?
Okay, right.
I was awake. I felt you crawl out of bed, go through all of your suit pockets in the bedroom closet, and then creep downstairs and wildly go through all the overcoat pockets, mumbling to yourself.
Okay, okay.
I was sitting on the stairs while you've been frantically rummaging through the desk drawers here.
All right.
Well, stop looking. When you gave up smoking 6 months ago, I cleaned out everything. All drawers and all pockets.
I bought a pack this morning, but I didn't smoke any. And on the way home, I threw the whole pack away.
Oh, good, dear.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Until I went to bed, and then I couldn't sleep.
What are those? 2 cigarette butts. Where did you get those? You have been smoking.
I have not. I found those in the garbage, but they're wet.
In the garbage? Oh, boy. You mean you've resorted to prowling through the garbage?
Yes, there's no sense in trying to explain. As a non-smoker, you would never understand anyway.
Well, what I don't understand is how there could be any cigarette butts in the garbage.
Well, plenty of your friends smoke. Elaine, Barbara, Phyllis.
They weren't over here today, and I wrap up the garbage every single day.
Well, they're mine.
And Maggie, what are you doing up?
They're yours?
I was awake reading, and I heard you two down here.
What do you mean, they're your cigarette butts?
Well, they are.
And Maggie, I can't believe it. You've been smoking?
Well, I thought I'd like to try it.
Why would you start smoking now at your age?
What do you mean at my age?
I just meant if you stayed away from cigarettes all your life, why would you take it up now?
I had my first one on New Year's Eve, and I've only smoked about 2 weeks since then. Well, maybe a few more. Sometimes I have one just before I go to sleep.
Smoking in bed? Well, that's the worst time to smoke. What if you fell asleep and set yourself on fire and the whole house had gone?
You made such a fuss about smoking, I thought I'd try it.
There, you've got Aunt Maggie smoking.
No, I've given it up. It makes me a little sick and leaves an awful taste in my mouth. So, here's the rest of the package, Bob. You don't need to ransack the house anymore. There's 12 left here.
Well, there you are.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Oh, Bob, really?
Just throw the pack in the desk drawer, Aunt Maggie, and let's all get back to bed. Look, now, I'm not going to smoke any. I just like knowing that there's some in the house. Don't you understand?
No, I don't at all.
Well, just leave the pack there, and every month you check, and there will always be 12 cigarettes in there, okay?
I hope so. Aunt Maggie, I'm surprised at you.
Well, I'm a little surprised at myself. New Year's Eve, I had 3 cigarettes and 1 grasshopper cocktail and 1 Cannonball Express.
What are they?
I don't know, but they were very good.
Honestly, when you two get back up to bed so I can get some sleep, I'm beginning to think I live in a very demoralized household.
And Maggie, allow me to lecture you on the evils of smoking and drinking. What was in that Cannonball Express?
Oh, I don't know, but they only serve you 1.
Come on, to bed, my kingdom, for some sleep.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound.
Oceder makes your life easier.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color, and it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now, except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
to have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do.
Does for you when you rush like this. Now, here's your juice. Thanks, Mom.
Well, good morning, everyone. How are you, baby?
I feel great, Daddy.
Good.
I don't know how you two manage to be so cheerful in the morning.
No, I don't know either. How do we do it, Betsy?
Very carefully. What's so funny?
Oh, I'm sorry, Ginger. Aren't you feeling well?
You're going to be all right.
I'm perfectly all right. There's nothing the matter with me.
You know, we're having company for dinner.
We are.
Chucky's coming for dinner.
He is. Well, how about that?
At least he's been invited.
Oh, he'll be here. Oh, I gotta rush. Bye, Daddy.
Bye,
Mom. And thanks.
You'll be right home from school today.
Yes, sure, Mom.
Tell Chucky dinner's at 6:30.
Okay, Mom. He knows. Bye.
Bye, dear.
Well, when did you decide to invite Chucky over?
When you refused to let Betsy go away to school.
Oh?
Yes, I thought we should meet him. Maybe he's all right. Or maybe you'll change your mind after you meet him and decide Betsy should go away to school after all.
Hey, Betsy.
Hi, Chucky.
How's it all going?
Awful. I didn't do my math homework.
Oh, boy. Night. Jackson's a real meanie on late homework.
Yeah.
Look, I'll slip you mine during the first period.
Thanks, Chucky. You are coming to dinner, aren't you?
Sure. I asked my aunt to wash my best jeans, and she thought I was kidding.
Oh, I gotta go home right after today.
I thought we were gonna wash my car.
I want to. Well, Mom asked me.
Okay. Hey, you got any money?
Yeah, sure. What do you want?
Well, you can pay for lunch today. I'm all tapped out.
Okay.
I paid $17 for that new radiator thing I wanted. Wait till you see it.
You got the one with the wings on it?
Yeah, it looks like a flying Wonder Woman, ready to take off.
Shazam!
Alakazam! And here we are at English Lit, and Miss Prescott.
Ugh.
Ain't she a dream?
What is it today? Oh, Richard the Third?
Some name like that.
Will you please open your book now, please?
Oh, Marge! Come on in.
How are you, Emily?
Well, there was a time when a question like that just meant hello. Now?
How's Jennifer?
She's all right, I think. She went to school this morning, so...
Oh, I was awfully sorry to hear about Charlie.
Oh, yes. She was very upset last night, Marsh.
Mm-hmm. Losing a pet can be very traumatic for a child.
How about losing a parent?
Now, Emily, don't give up hope.
I won't, if you'll tell me what we're all hoping for. A miracle?
Always. Life is full of miracles. Any doctor will tell you that.
What's the average on brain tumors?
I don't know. We haven't heard from the outlying precincts yet.
Would you like some coffee while we're waiting for the results?
You bet. I would like that.
How are things at your house, Miss?
Oh, about the same. Ginger wants to send Betsy away to school, and Betsy and I are holding her off for the time being.
Oh, don't send her away, Marsh. The time you have with them is all too short anyway.
Yes, I know. Did Angela get home last night?
No, she stayed on here. After dinner, we tried to talk, but Bobby and Susie were here, so we couldn't get on to topic A, which, come to think of it, can get to be a bore.
Not you, Emily.
Yes, me. Look, if I get bored with all this talk about my illness, can you imagine what it's like for someone else?
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me.
And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Here's the place, Chucky.
Jeez, this place gets worse every day.
We could go outside, but it's so cold.
I don't know which is worse, the food or the noise.
Ew, what's that?
That's ravioli a la American. Noodles and tomato with cheese.
It looks like cheese.
It tastes like... doesn't have any taste at all.
That's good. I wish I could say the same for my meatloaf. I hate meatloaf.
Why'd you get it?
I want to lose weight.
You get your math homework in okay?
Yeah, thanks. I hope your answers are right.
I don't think it makes any difference with Jackson. He hands in a piece of paper and he checks it off and that's it.
How did he grade you then?
Well, he puts all the names in a hat and the first 10 he pulls out gets an A and then the...
I hope I get an A.
And maybe I could put in a good word for you, my dear.
If I get good grades, at least Mom can't use that as an excuse to send me away to school. I just don't think that school is the right place for her.
Oh, have fresh coffee ready in a minute, Ginger.
I always thought it was a good school.
Well, maybe the school's all right, Emily. It's just that there's so much going on now. It's so easy for them to get into trouble.
Well, the schools in Boston aren't having an easy time of it.
Well, this would be a private school.
Well, they don't exist in a vacuum, Ginger. Anyway, Susie and Bobby seem to like it. And Bobby went on to Harvard, so its scholastic standing must be good.
Betsy gets good grades, but I'd like to see her making friends with... well, you know.
She and Susie are friends.
Oh, I didn't mean you're Susie, Emily. I hope you didn't think that.
Oh, I know you didn't mean it, Ginger. Is Betsy going on to college?
I don't know. I don't think she's decided.
Well, haven't you talked to her about it? You and Marsh?
We talk about a lot of things.
Have you heard from your sister?
Oh, yes, yes. Cora's glad to be back home again, although what she sees in Burtonsville, I don't know.
Well, maybe just because it's home, Ginger. You know, everyone thinks of a special place to go back to, where it all began.
Well, would you like another root beer, Chucky?
No, thank you, Dr. Forrester. I still have some.
I guess I'll freshen mine up. Well, how's school?
School's fine.
You're in your second year?
Yes, sir, my second year.
Do you have any plans?
Plans?
Well, I mean, for after school. Are you going on to college?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. What are you interested in?
Well, I like cars.
Yeah, Betsy said you did. Maybe you'd like to go into engineering.
I thought I might become a mechanic after I got out of the Army.
Oh, you're going to enlist?
Sure, it's a good deal. And nothing to worry about. Your future's all taken care of.
Well, dinner will be ready soon. How are you two getting along?
Fine, Mrs. Foster.
Can I fix you a drink, Ginger?
No, thank you. Here's some dip I fixed.
Oh, Betsy, that's so messy looking.
It's just sour cream, Mom, and pink salmon eggs.
And there's no way to make sour cream look neat now, is there?
Well, it tastes good, Mom. Really, it does.
Well, it's a little salty, dear. I mean, at least for my taste.
Ginger.
What have you two men been talking about?
Well, Chucky and I have been discussing important matters.
Like what?
Oh, Chucky's future, for instance.
Oh, what are your plans, Chucky?
I thought just maybe I'd go into the Army.
Oh, the Army.
Well, there's the Navy, too, you know. The Air Force.
I did think about the Marines.
What did your mother say?
My mom's dead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Betsy, you never told me.
You never asked me, Mom.
Well, let's all drink up, huh?
And your father?
He's away.
Oh, I see.
Mom, I think I heard the buzzer for the oven.
Oh?
So did I. So let's adjourn to the dining room. You have a treat in store for you, Chucky. The specialty of the house is meatloaf.
Julie, I haven't had this for years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, poor kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.